think we're up to Gittin Nasha. So the the Gemara going through all the things, the list of things that are Mutabana and difficult, Kasha either on Rabbi Abahu or on both of them, asked from Gittin Nasha and Right, the Gemara holds here, as opposed to a little later we'll get to, that it must be that the heteron of the Vela includes all the parts of the Vela, including the Chel of the Megid, and that's why it's much better. I'll leave it to Rabbi Abahu. Honey, if I'm going to be my Ika Lemeimar. So that works. We know there's a machlokas, right? Anyone who learned your day is aware of this machlokas, but the Yesh Begidim Nosin Tam or Ain Begidim Nosin Tam, right? Does Gittin Nasha have a Tam, or is it, in the words of Ula maybe, on the Sadi Beis of Chulin, it eats the Alma, but it's like Xeris the cost of the Torah Asher anyway. The Nafkamina here is just, is the thing itself considered edible or not? The nafkamina that we have more in Yeridaya is, if you cook the Gittin Nasha with other things, does it give out a tam that asers things or not? Sticking to our Gemara, I should just point out, the Marim Chalava here asks an obvious question. He's really just echoing the maskana of a very convoluted Shakavataria, the Rashba, in Chulin Daf Tzadik Beis. Okay, but here the Marim Chalava says very simply. He asked the obvious question, what do you mean they're arguing Yesh Beginim Nosin Tam or Ain Beginim Nosin Tam? Total side point, but just Pasuk Shah, just taste it and see if it has a good edible taste or if it just tastes like an Eitz B'Alma. So the Maram Chalava says, and this is also a day of brought in the, seems to be the Maskana, pretty much, of the Rashba there, in Chulin Daf Tzadik Beis. The Maram Chalava says, obviously they can't be arguing B'Mtzias, because then they could just taste it and see. And if you say, well, you're not allowed to taste this, have a good taste it and see. they're arguing about what the Torah meant when it said Gittin Nasha. There are things called knoknos. I probably wouldn't be able to recognize them in an actual animal, but the knoknos are sort of like little strings that come out of the gid that like attach to other things. And those are not as hard as the gid itself, because they're just little thin ones. So the machlokas is not b'mtzias, but what chefs including Gittin Nasha. One man number holds, even the knoknos are asa midaraisa. For sure, we don't need knoknos. Even the knoknos are asa daraisa. In which case, if midaraisa, if knoknos are asa, then it has a tam right there. Well, the other man learns, no, midaraisa, only the thick, strong gid is asa. In which case, it has no nosin tam. Everyone knows that it has no nosin tam. So they're not arguing about whether any chef says tam, they're just arguing about whether the itzer daraisa Gittin Nasha includes part that tastes good, or only includes the part that tastes bad, the actual thick main gid. The Rashba there brings down two days about this. The other option is, typically understood, it's yeshivish to assume that Chazal never argue about Metzias. There's never a Machlokas Metzias. Okay, that's yeshivish to assume. It doesn't necessarily have good muck or good logic behind it. But over here, it's logical to assume they can't be arguing about Metzias, because it's a Metzias which you can easily check. It's yeshivish to assume. Chazal never argue about Metzias, ever. Even Metzias which is very hard to check. But it's possible they wouldn't argue about Metzias that's easy to check. They could just check. Nase to say for Venezi. So one option is Marim Chalava, the other option is to say no. They're arguing whether the main gid hanasha itself, the thick gid, has no Saint Tom or not. So what are they arguing about? They both agree that it only barely has a little shadow of a Tom. And they argue about where to draw the line for no Saint Tom, meaning for Achila in Kolotar Akula. One man never says Achila has to be a reasonable, significant, edibility. In which case, Ain Beginim Nosin Tam. The other Mandamer puts the bar a little lower and says, no, any beer edibility of any sort is considered Achila, and therefore Yesh Beginim Nosin Tam. So that's what they say mostly in the belt nowadays, that they're arguing about the thick gid itself, not like the Marim Chalava, but they're arguing about where to draw the line in terms of Nosin Tam.
Isn't there a ban on Chulin as if to say that they wouldn't debate anything related to this?
Definitely older Rishonim Mechulin say they wouldn't debate anything related to Matthias, which you could check easily. Question is, the idea that we have nowadays, the, you know, if you'll excuse my Torah Mada, the sort of more Platonic idea that we have nowadays, that they wouldn't be arguing about Matthias only about the theoretical din, I'm not sure if that is good Machron Rishonim, but you could show me the line, and we can look. In any case, it is yeshivish. For good philosophical reasons. Which is that, you know, we think it's deeper to learn Torah and assume they're arguing about the theoretical Ratzon Hashem than just about the Metzius of science. Okay, that's already philosophy, not for us now. Getting back to our sugya, the Gemara answers that if Yesh begin to know in time, then it's part of the veil, then we have a heter and no. But if Ain begin to know in time, Michael and Amar, the verse is no problem, because who holds Ain begin to know in time, Rav Shimon? Because Rav Shimon says if you eat the Gedanush of a pig, you're a putter. You're a putter for Gedanusha, because he holds Gedanusha doesn't apply to pig. And you're a putter even for a chazer, because it's not part of the chazer, because it has no taste. And Rabbi Yehuda holds your chayv twice, coincidentally, maybe, seemingly, that he holds Gedanusha applies to pigs, so you're chayv for Gedanusha, and he holds that Gedanusha have as tam, so you're chayv for chazer. In any case, Rav Shimon is the one who says it has no nosing tam. Then he has a problem that's not included in the veil. There's no heter on not, but no problem because he taka avos bana. Rav Shimon achinami dasa bana. The tani get anosh much bana. The Rehuda. Rav Shimon oser. Okay, and the this creates then the Gemara. That wasn't we're saying. If you hold like Rabbi Abahu, then you have to choose one of two things. Either say yesh begidim nosing tam, and that's why it's much bana, or say it's aser bana. Pick Rabbi Yehuda or Rabbi Shimon. We don't know whether or not we hold like Rabbi Yehuda. We don't know whether or not Gedanusha is Mutter or Asarana. But one thing for sure we know is that, out of the three facts here, whether we hold like Rabbi Yehuda, whether giving them those same time, whether giving them Mutter or Asarana, what's the fact? The fact is, aiming them those time, that's a Mufuris Psak in Chulin, the Gemara in Chulin, Paschal, that Mufuris, not Sadi Test, it's the Maskon of the Gemara. So you should be giving those time, in which case we should have to make a choice. Either hold like Rabbi Yehuda, and then if Ain beginning no same time, it's not including a Vela, and then you have to say that the Gid Hanasha is Aser Behana'ah, or hold that Gid Hanasha is Mutter Behana'ah, but why is it Mutter Behana'ah? It's not including a Vela, so you'd have to hold like Chizkiyah, that Lo Yochol Never Aser's Hana'ah. So those are the two choices which most Rishonim feel like they have to make. And different Rishonim pick different choices here. The for example, the Rosh in Chulin says, "Well, we'll have to pass like Chizkiyah because we all know the Gedanush is Mutter B'Hana'ah because that's Rabbi Yehuda's sheet is more authoritative, and that's the Stam Mishnah, the Marim Chalava at the end of our Siddur Daf Chaf Gimel." Also says, must we hold like Chizkiyah? Since Gedanush is Mutter B'Hana'ah, we can prove that we hold like Chizkiyah, even though we really should hold like Rabbi Bahu, because he is Rabbi Yochanan. So really we should hold like Rabbi Bahu, because he is Rabbi Yochanan, who's, because he's quoting Rabbi Yochanan. Really we should hold like that Gedanush is Mutter B'Hana'ah, so they compromise the like Chizkiyah. On the other hand, there would be Yonah quoted in the Rosh, that was on the Bakura sheet, as well as the Urayim, which is quoted in the Hagos HaMoni, so the bottom of the Rambam. And basically, this seems to be what the Chachamim and Mil has held. They say, nope, we hold like Rabbi Bahu, in which case you're forced to get enough of us by not, and that's a big nafgamina, halakha lemaisa. Okay, who's the interesting sheet to hear, of course? The Rambam. The Rambam decides to have his cake and eat it too, and on the one hand, passing like Rabbi Bahu, that we've seen a million times, and on the other hand, Paskin's Gid Hanasha is Aser B'Hana'ah, is Mutter B'Hana'ah, he Paskin's Shalef Adu Yerv. The Nachri would give a Socho, etc. Right? He's very clear that Gidonash knows or not. And just to make sure, you can check him out and you'll see that he Paskins Ain Begidin Ben No Saint Tom. The problem is, according to our Gemara, that is impossible to enter a Bahu. It should be Aser B'Hana'ah. It's not Ben No Saint Tom. It's not included in the Heter. It's not part of the Din Nevela. And therefore, it should be Aser B'Hana'ah. That is the question of one of the famous series of questions asked by what? The Chachamim Lunil, right? The Chachamim Lunil famously asked a whole series of questions to the Rambam, and this is one of the Chachamim Lunil's questions, which we were not zocha to see the Rambam himself answering. So, basically, the Magen Mishnah aside quotes from the Ramban, that the Ramban says, He quotes from the Ramban, that the Ramban says, in two words, what does the Ramban say? L'ravka d'milsa. Meaning, the question is, how does Rabbi Abahu matergid b'hana? We said, because he holds ain beginning no same time, and he's only leaving Rabbi Yehuda. Now, the Ravka d'milsa, that was just to have, like, an extra answer, but really, there's other answers also. Really, there's other reasons that gid hanosh is mutter b'hana, other than what's said in our Gemara. So the Rav for the Milsa means there's another reason Gid HaNosh is Mutter B'Hana, our Gemara didn't say it. Yeah, the Rav for the Milsa, our Gemara is just experimenting with an additional angle, but it wasn't saying that's the only angle. It happened to work out in our Gemara. Shimon worked out, Yehuda worked out, they were happy, but if you had pressed them, they would have told you that, that there are other explanations as why Gid HaNosh is Mutter B'Hana also, if you so desire. So I want to bring a diuk from our Sugya, broadly defined page-wise, that maybe this Rav for the Milsa is not so crazy. Ikebeinayu. My Ikebeinayu. And they don't say Ikebeinayu get a nasha, whether it's Asarana or Matarana, right? So the Gemara doesn't say Ikebeinayu. The Ikebeinayu, as we saw, is very peculiar. But to get to Ikebeinayu, you need to go to Chulin Shanishka to Bazar Daraisa or not. What's wrong with Ikebeinayu of get a nush, and that you get confused. Rashi and Tosfos is running very straightforward. Ike beinayu get a nush. You just say ike beinayu get a nush. I leave it to one damer. Ain't beginning no same time, right? Kolishes was also an ike beinayu. Only leave it to one man damer. Only leave it to Rav Yehuda. So therefore, that's a good deal for the Rav for the Milsa. That really get a nush doesn't depend on Chizki Rabbi Abahu. There are other ways to answer it. How many ways are there to explain why it's much of a nush according to the Rambam? So there are three basic drachim how to explain this. One is the derech of the lechem mishnah there in most of the earlier achronim. What do they say?
Based on
kapha and beis. Exactly. So lechem mishnah and most of the earlier achronim say that. We know why there's no ikebeinayu. We know the rav for the milsa. It's mefurish on Dachov Gimel and Beis, that there's another Mokr to Matur Gid HaNosha by Hanok. There's a different time of the year who doesn't choose the track of Kishahutna Nevela, He Vegid Vechel Behutra. Instead, says that, how do we know Gid HaNosha is Motzer B'Hanah? We learn it Kal V'Chomer from Chelev. Right, Chelev is Mechomer, is in Isser Kares. So, Kal V'Chomer from Chelev, and of course, how do we know Chelev is Motzer B'Hanah? Trivially. Says some of Forish and the Chumash, right? And that's just like the other man of Daf Gimel and Beis. And they, by the time they more got the Daf Gimel and Beis, they knew you could say like the Rambam. And therefore, that's not the Ikebeinayu. They know that you could end up being Matri Gid HaNosha B'Hana for a different reason because of Kal V'Chomer from Chela. This is actually a very good answer because it's straight out in the Gemara. It so happens that it's not the right answer for the Rambam, I think. But it's a really, really good answer, if not for the fact that the Rambam has a different answer, as we'll see in a moment. But let's just point out that the Kobus Shiurim here has a very clever answer. Rav Chanan has a big chiddush, a very clever answer, which makes the Rambam l'shitase. Right? He says, what's the Rambam l'shitase? How does he interpret Rabbi Abahu? How does the Rambam interpret why Rabbi Abahu thinks every lo yochel is asur b'hana'a? Because achila is the classic hana'a, achila is like the main hana'a, and then everything else is another hana'a like achila. But achila is the greatest hana'a. So, the Kobus Shiurim says that, again, the Gemara didn't think of it here because it was just talking the Rambam for the Milsa. But the Rav Chanan says that this is the Rambam l'shitase. The Rambam l'shitase holds that Rabbi Abahu is only asur b'hana'a because that's like a chatzi shir, as it were, to mix in the Sfasemis of Lashon, of Achila, which is like the real full Hanah. That's true of edible things, that Achila is the real Hanah. But Gid HaNosha, Achila is not a real Hanah. He even goes so far as to say Achila, but Gid HaNosha is not Hanah. It's a little tricky because L'chora, you know, you probably get some calories out of it and you stop feeling so hungry. But you could certainly say not a significant Hanah, right? Because you're eating something which is inedible. So why is it usher to eat the Gid HaNosha? Not because eating is the greatest hana'ah. Because the gzeres hakasa is not to eat the Gid HaNosha. So if the isra achila of everything else is asr achila b'toras greatest hana'ah. Right? Basically, achilas shar macholos asuros is Asura Bitoras, right? Hana'ah, the biggest Hana'ah, right? And therefore, Rabbi Bahu applies. But Achilas Gid Hanasha is Asura Bitoras. It's not a Hana'ah. So Bitoras Gzeres HaKasav Ha'aser Ein Maisa Achila. So then you see where the Rambam, how come the Rambam thinks, unlike the Shakazari Argamar, that Rabbi Bo doesn't apply to Gid Hanasha. Here, Rabbi, by all other Master Polisers, Rabbi Bo applies. Achil is the main Hanah, and then also the secondary Hanahs. By Gid, Rabbi Bo doesn't apply. The answer is Gzeres HaKasav of Maisa Achila. How can other Hanahs be an extension of Gzeres HaKasav of Maisa Achila? Other Hanahs are not good Maisa Achila. So the Rambam is Shutasing, who says that Achila or Hanah is an extension of Achila, that only applies to a Hanah dek Achila, not to Xeris Akasa of Maisa Achila. That's Rav Elchanan. Also, a very brilliant answer for the Rambam. All of the contemporary Achronim, though, well, the later, you know, 20th century, let's say Achronim, 21st century, okay, hasn't been around long enough, we can be medical. All of the later Achronim, such as the Or Sameach, on, which I put here on Chesvav, and all the, you know, more contemporary Rosh Hashivas, say a third answer in the Rambam. And this third answer happens to be a Mefurash Rambam. What does the Rambam say in Mefurash that surprises us besides this, right? Whenever you have two difficult Rambams, you'd think they would answer each other. The Rambam says, Ein Beginim and Osein Tam, right? And therefore, what's the nafkamina of Ein Beginim and Osein Tam? Therefore, Ochel Gid Hanasha shel behema tmeya. You're chayav or pater? Pater, because in beginning no same time, it's not part of the meat of the behema tmeya. It's an inedible part of the behema tmeya. Okay. How about ochel gid hanasha of nevelos utrechos? You would think that you should be pater, or at least you should be. You might be chayiv for gid hanasha, right? So that's exiris akasav, but you should be pater. And what does the Rambam say? The Rambam says chayiv shtayim, one for nevela and one for gid hanasha. The question is, why is the gid hanasha? Well, hold on a second. Before we get there, what did the Rambam just say? That the gid is not part of behemah tmeya because it doesn't have a taste. But even though it doesn't have a taste, it's still part of the iser of Nevela, right? Gid is still part of the Yisr of Nevela. It's Mufurish Rambam. Now, we don't know why yet, but it's still part of the Yisr of Nevela. Now, if Gid is part of the Yisr of Nevela, then obviously why is the Rambam not difficult in our sugya? Because once Gid is part of the Yisr of Nevela, then why is it Mutrana?
Because
it's Bechlal Nevela, exactly. So the Rambam holds that Kisha Hutra Nevela. What's the lashon of the Gemara? Ki v'chelba v'gida hutra. V'chelba v'gida hutra. Because l'shitasei she iser nevela chal on the gid hanasha. Now we just, yeah?
Even though
it doesn't have time, that's what you have to figure out. The rounds of the forest, by the way, they gidin, meaning general, gidin, don't have an issue of nevela, because they don't have time, they're inedible, right? And the rounds of the forest says, if you eat the gid of a chazer, you're putter, meaning if you eat the gid of a chazer, you're putter twice. Number one, there's no issue of gid of nusha, because it was never said about chazer, it's only about cows and sheep. Number two, you're putter because it's not part of the chazer, because it's not edible. If you eat a gid of nevela, of a cow nevela, you're chayiv twice. Once for gid hanasha, because it was said about cows, and also for nevela. So why is it not part of the chazer, but is part of the nevela? So l'chora, there's only one possible answer. Donnie? What's the one? Why is it not considered part of the chazer? It's not edible, but it is part of the nevela, because it's not, even though it's not edible. Exactly, because of achshavei, or let's call it isuro choshto, in the lashon l'gemara b'chor staf yud. Right, what must it be? In behema tmeya, there's no iser gid, and therefore there's no iser of behema tmeya. But when it comes to nevelos utrechos, there is an iser of gid, because the iser of gid hanasha was said about all kosher species. right? And one fish in Isser Gid, then we have a rule called Isuro Choshvo. If there's an Isser Achila, that shows that it's a Machol. It's Roy L'Achila. It's not really Roy L'Achila, but it's Ke'ilu Roy L'Achila because the Torah said don't eat it. And once it's Isura Choshvo, then there is an Isra Neveila because now it's an Ochel. Now it's right, it's an Ochel. It's not physically Roy L'Achila, but halachically, since the Torah told you not to eat it, the Torah's mashiv eating it as Achila, and therefore it's Roy L'Achila. Once it's Roy L'Achila, the Isra Neveila applies. And that's why the Rambam would say there's no Isra Neveila on Gidin. All the other Gidin in the animal, if you eat them, you don't violate Neveila because there's no Isra Choshvo. But the Gid Hanasha of the animal, if you eat it, you do. You are over on the Neveila, because once the Torah said, well, Yochlu, Gid Hanasha, therefore it's called an Ochel. Once it's called an Ochel, it's Bechlal Neveila as well. That has to be the sheet of the Rambam. This is based on the Havri and the Gorm Bechor Staf Yud, which said Isura Choshvo, which says that, at least according to the Chachamim, the fact that the Torah said it's Isser makes it into a food for Tumah V'Tahara. Rambam would say, okay, I don't know about Tumah V'Tahara, but it makes it into a food for Machalos Asuros. And that's Lechora, the best shot in the Rambam, because the Mefurish Rambam, who says that, against our Gemara, that Gid is Bochal Neveila, and then we have the Svara, you know, whether we're right about the Svara or wrong, I'm pretty sure we're right, then Melais is the Mefurish Rambam, Gid is Bochal Neveila, so we understand why it's Motzer Rambam.
So, we were saying in the Rambam, thinks it's Machalos Asuros?
So the Rambam, the way... Anyway, you say it has to be on Chol Kasugis because it's Lurak for the Milsa.
I mean, if you say Lach Mishkai, you have to say it's Lach
Mishkai. You have to say it's Lach Mishkai, Lach Mishkai, Lach Mishkai, Lach Mishkai.
Right,
the advantage of Lach Mishkai is that textually, the Gemara backtracks within this Sugya, so we're more comfortable saying that it was Lurak for the Milsa, because the Gemara backtracked on the Daf. For the Rambam and for Rabbi Chanan, the Gemara never backtracked on the Daf. There's just a Svara from left field, so like, why did the Gemara say so? You're right, the weakness of the second Duf Shadim, why didn't the Gemara say anything? The advantage of Lech Mishkat, the Gemara did say something. The Gemara said, keep reading, you know, don't learn one blot a month, you know, learn 100 blot a month, and then you would notice it. Okay. Interesting. According to what I'm saying, maybe Gina Nasha should also be the Ksav. Unless you say that the Svara, the Shahusha, Nevela, Jiva, Chalvugin. Okay, it's a nice deal.
Alright,
maybe you're right.
How would
the
explain the fact that maybe
it hasn't passed in Chalvugin also? Because Chalvugin is a Pasuk. Now, Chalvugin could have been learned through Nevela, but it is a Pasuk, so the Rambam threw it in. What? Yeah, why the Rambam didn't throw in Trefa is a good question. The Kuliel.
Well, not according to Lach Mishnah. Lach Mishnah is the Machal. Caleb and
Avila
are a paradox that you're going to end up.
But
Trefas? Okay, everyone's not listing every single case. But for him, he's exactly picking the one that he wants to say is the limud for other cases.
Bechila is not the limit for other cases. You mean for Gid? He's only using ones that are useful for other things. Okay, I hear. Sure. All right, there are advantages to the Mishnah. So it's Tzorchian, meaning the Rambam could go either way. It could be Lishitase, the old Gid is Bechal Neveila, or it could be no. He abandoned Achavez and went to Achav Gimel, doesn't care with Bechal Neveila, and said Kalvachomer from Chela. Leave it an open question. Okay, it's fine if you have too many answers for the Rambam, as long as you don't have not enough. What? Okay, you want to share a good one?
Yeshua said that Rosh Shimon is learning that we learn the Heter from the Vela. Sorry, we learn our Evalis from the Vela. But the Rambam doesn't think so. The Rambam thinks we learn the Din from Oso. So if you learn it from the Vela, so Gidanasha would not be included because people don't eat Gidanasha. Like the guy, it's not Roy Lachila. But if you learn it from Trefa, it says Akalapashimon. So the Gidanasha would be included because
I mean, it's not b'chalal nevela, but it is b'chalal treifa.
Right.
He's saying the idea of b'chalal nevela is not a matter of whether it's called the isser of nevela. It's a matter of whether practically it's what we call the story of the pasuk. So if it's b'chalal nevela, it's not in the story of the pasuk. If it's b'chalal treifa, then it is in the story of the then it is in the story of the pasuk. And you know this. How does he know what Rav Shimon says? I guess
he says based on understanding.
Oh, yeah.
Rav Shimon holds that
Chun Shus Vazara is not the right. Okay, well then. So Bnei Shua adds, it's Bechlal Treifa, not Mitzad HaIsser, but Mitzad the story. Meaning, like Kelat Hashlif, and also you threw it to the dog, as opposed to like Ger Shem Shrek, Nenim Achala, the Ger wouldn't eat it. Although you might sell it to a guy. But okay, leaving that aside. Okay, Kavaldik. All right, so there's plenty of ways to defend the Rambam. Then I think we can go weiter. The Gemara then asks, what about Dam? Right, that the Dam of Kutchin is a little bit of a surprising power of Nasis Mitzvasa, right? Some people who do not think very lundishly might be surprised by this, but the Dam Kutchim, after, you know, everything, we sell it as fertilizer, and there's me'ila to the tekdish until someone pays for it, but obviously there's no problem with Isser Dam, right? You can use Dam for fertilizer, right? Kavachomer, you can use Dam Chulin for fertilizer, so why is there no Isser and non Dam? Tosus makes the obvious deal here that he says, hold on, in the context of this particular Gemara, the last thing was Gid, and what was the Gemara's initial reaction? Ah, Gid is no Isser and non, because it's Bechlau Nevela. So why didn't they answer that Dam was Bechlau Nevela? So why didn't they answer that Dam was Bechlau Nevela? And what's Tosus' answer? Basically, very simple.
It's not.
That Dam is not Bechlau Nevela, and all the Yishon would be with Tosus here. I don't know if he found anyone who disagreed, even though he had a Kasha. But all the Rishonim agree with Tosos, that Dam is not Bechal Nevela. Obviously, Dam is traced because of Dam. But if you eat Dam with Nevela, you don't violate two Isurim, right? Because the Isur of Nevela is the Sarallah, right? First from the Basar. And not the Dam. The Dam is different than the Basar. So Dam is not Bechal Nevela. I would just point out here a famous piece of Wayu lore. Which is, Rav Shechter loves to tell over this story. I think it's also the Nefesh Rav, which is one of the many proofs. I collect stories throughout my whole life proving that you can't pass in halacha without being a lach. I mean, you can sometimes, but you can't consistently. Because if you don't think lundish, then that means you're not thinking logically. And if you're not thinking logically, then you can't always pass in halacha correctly. So there's a famous story about this. They say Rav Lazer tells her, how did he know that Rav Chaim was a real Lamdan? He says he was once at a chasana, and Rav Chaim spoiled it. And then he saw that Rav Chaim was the real thing. What happened? He was once at a chasana, they had a piece of trade meat, which they had put on the side to feed the cats or whatever they used to do with trade meat in those days. The way I heard it was to feed the cat. They put the treif meat on the side, and accidentally the Gaya Shivcha took the treif meat and threw it into the chulin that was like the meal for, you know, to serve. It's this big, tremendous pot. And they didn't know whether, because they couldn't identify what piece it was, they didn't know whether it was more or less than a 60th of the whole pot, whether it's bottle b'shishim or not. So it was a suffix of whether there was an issur here or not. So they were trying to declare, everyone knows it says in Siman Tzadi Chesu Yerdeah, is this a Suffolk Daraisa, Lechumra, or is this a Suffolk Darabana, and you can go Lekula. So, at first all, the Lamdanim said, well, at first you think it's a mixture of trefa into a, you know, a meat stew. So, is this a Suffolk Daraisa or Darabana? What's the worst the Issa would be? Anyone learn Yerdeah? Meaning, if the treifa did give a tam to the whole stew, say, it would only be an issur d'rabbanan. Why? Because min v'mino is only an issur d'rabbanan. It's the same taste as the meat, right? Min v'mino is not no sin tam d'oraisa, so it's meat and meat. Meat and meat is only suffik d'rabbanan. Because worst comes to worst, it's only an issur d'rabbanan. Min v'mino is batal b'rov min haTorah. So fine, but then I'm kind of pointed out, hold on a second. If you have treifa meat, not just treifa, you don't salt the treifa meat. If you don't salt the trefi meat, it's full of dam. And dam is a different min than basar. So forget the meat. It's a mixture of dam and basar. A mixture of dam and basar is a chash of an isidoraisa. But then, they pointed out, no. But we paskin that dam shabishlo is only usher midrabanan. Only raw dam is the raisa, cooked dam is rabanan. So now you're a big lump, and you say, mimanashach. The meat taste in the trefa is min bamino, so it's not a shash min isidoraisa. And the dam in the trefa is dam shabishlo, which is also not a shash doraisa. So you can be nakel misafik.
Is it inomino and
yes, but it's only Mr. Drabbanan to start with, because Dam of Hushel. So it's only Safik Drabbanan. Yes, but if it's only Mr. Drabbanan, then you can still be Makel. That's an Issa Hetzer quoted in the, or sorry, that's a Shach on Simon Sadi Ches.
Where is Mr. Makel?
That if you, what?
Don't you definitely need Shisha now?
You definitely need Shisha, but you only need Shisha mid Drabbanan, because Dam Shabishal is only Mr. Drabbanan to start with.
Okay.
So therefore, if you're Safik, whether or not there's Shisha, Safik Drabbanan, you can be Makel. So, then Rav Chaim pointed out that the meat alts trefa is only shastra abundance, it's min bamino. The dam alts dam is only shastra abundance, it's dam shabishlo. But the dam is also a trefa. And dam, when you cook dam, it brings the isra of dam down to drabanan. But the isra of trefa is still the raisa. So the dam, the Torah's trefa, is also mid raisa even after you cook it. Is it also daraisa even after you cook it? And it's also daraisa even after you cook it, so it's a safi daraisa l'chumra. So they all pointed out, which Rechaim of course knew, said, what do you mean? It's a mafurish gemar in psachim, that Tosos and all the Rishonim agree, that dam is not part of the animal. Dam is a separate chetzah from the basar. Therefore, the dam doesn't have an iser trefa. The dam only has an iser dam. And therefore, it's only an iser drabanan. And they almost say, the cholent, till Rav Chaim said, no. Is our Gemara talking about trefa? What's our Gemara talking about? Nevela. Now it's an interesting question. Well, you go back to the Tanei Yeshua, but leaving that aside for what? What? Who's? I think there was a different Nevela. I don't know. The way I heard, I thought that was a different part about Nevela and trefa. Anyway, so Rav Chaim says, that's about Nevela, but trefa is different. I mean, basically, trefa should be different. So he points out that look at the Rambam Hilchos Machlokes Suras Perek Vav Halacha Aleph, and the Rambam says that the Isra Dam only applies to Behema Chai Va'of, but Dam of Dogim V'Chagodim, Ushkatsim V'Ramasim, has no Isra of Dam. So therefore, you can have fish blood, no problem. You can have Chagov blood, no problem if you're a Taimani, etc. But that's for a kosher Dam and Chagov. What about blood of a treif Dam and Chagov, of a treif Dog and Chagav? So the Rambam says Mefurish. That. Dog and Dam, Dog and Chagav to Horim, Motzer, Gevaldik. But Dam, Chagavim, and Dog and Temeim is Usur, Mishum Shutansis Gufan. Dam of trade fish is Usur because it comes out of their body. Kecholavim Etmea, just like milk, pig milk. Why is pig milk trafe? Because a Yotzim in a Tame Same, anything that comes out of trafe is trafe. Therefore, the Rambam says, Dam is yotze min habasar, and it's treif just like pig milk, right? So therefore, if you want to eat dam of a shark, right, that's a treif fish, dam of a shark, it's not part of the shark, but, and it's not dam, the Isra of dam doesn't apply to fish, and it's not mamish the shark meat, but it's yotze from the shark meat, and it's like drinking camel milk or pig milk, which is an iser, it's a lower level iser d'oraisa, of yotze min atami. So what does Rav Chaim say? He said very cleverly, he said, Dam Nevela, did the Dam come out of the Nevela? No, because once the animal died and became Nevela, it stopped circulating Dam. So the Dam wasn't Yotze from a Nevela. Because Nevela only was Chal when the animal died. And when the animal died, the Dam just froze exactly where it was. But Trefa, if an animal's Trefa, it's been Trefa for a few months. An animal's trefa while it's alive. Therefore, while it's alive and its body is producing the dam, its trefa body is producing the dam, and this is dam that came out of a trefa. Again, dam doesn't come out of nevela because when it was alive, it wasn't nevela. But dam does come out of trefa because when it was alive, it was trefa. And just like you can't drink milk of a trefa, everyone knows you can't drink milk of a trefa. Milk of a trefa is trefa, it's yotze min a trefa. Likewise, dam of a trefa is yotze min a trefa. Therefore, I'm trying to spoil the party. Because he says, again, that dam is not We prove that dam is it's not part of the basar, but it is yotzei min habasar. And therefore, whenever there's an issa that applies to live animals, like treifa, the dam is yotzei. Dam is like milk. So, dam is like milk. Milk of a nevela is not treif. It's not part of the nevela. But milk of a treifa is treif. It was produced by a treif udder, by a treif organ. Likewise, dam of a treif was produced by a treif animal. Therefore, this dam has an issa treifa in it, since it and cooking doesn't take away the isser treifa. So therefore, dam, even when it's cooked, has an isser the rights of yotzei min treifa. Therefore, the suffix gives the rights of yotzei min treifa. You have to be machmir. That's the famous story, an important part of our lore, about how Reb Lazer Telzer realized that Reb Chaim was a real lamed. Based on this Rambam and this very lamedish chiluk between the veila and treifa.
Does her body actually produce the blood?
So that's what's tricky. I mean, that the Svar Rechaim is not so pasha because there are a bunch of achronim. I haven't found anyone explicitly discussing this in your show. There are a bunch of achronim who say, who are they? I saw a quote the name of someone called the Neos Yaakov, but I admit I don't know who the Neos Yaakov is. So, who says that, no, really, the Rambam's wrong. And, you know, okay, so you have to find a diuk in some other Rishon, but not before. Really, you could say, milk is produced by the body, right? Because when you were born, you didn't have any milk. I mean, all of us in this room still don't have milk, right? But if you're a female and you give birth, you start making milk. That's yotzei, right? But blood isn't yotzei. You're born with your blood. You don't make blood. You're born with it. Now, again, I don't want a scientific discussion of where the blood cells come from. The question is just how to look at it halachically. Do you look at it as if the blood is coming from the body because scientifically the body always makes new blood cells, etc.? Or do you say no? Blood is a chesed that was already there. I understand when you grow you have more blood than when you're a 20-year-old has more blood than a 1-year-old. But the blood is always there. It's not yotzei in a body. It's just coincidentally renting space in the body. It's a tenant of the body. So you could disagree with the Rambam and say there's no sort of treif on dam either because it's not yo, and then there would be no sort of dug tummy on dam because it's not yotzei like milk. It was always there from when it was born. It was just a separate septa that happened to be inhabited. You happened to be sharing office space. You could say that, but the Rambam doesn't.
By dam, is it different from actually say it by treif? He said it by behemoth shmeh.
He said that by dug and chagav tummy.
So those are from the beginning. They've been tummy. A treif became treif at some point. Later in its life, not the moment he was born. The Rambam doesn't say explicitly. By
you know, if you want to be mechalik, that dug tameh, he compares it to chalav. But dug tameh, the truth is, theoretically, maybe you could say like this: dug tameh, even though it was born with its blood, you know, it came from a mother dug tameh, so it came all the way down the line from dug tameh, right? It came from, right, let's ignore, again, Torah Mada for now. It came from a dug tummy, from a dug tummy, from a dug tummy, all the way to the fifth day of Bereshis, right? Dug tummy is all the way back. So that's yotzei min a dug tummy, because even though it was born with the blood, it's yotzei from the original dug tummy, as opposed to a treifa, where it was born with its blood, it was yotzei from tahor. It just became treifa later. So theoretically, you could disagree with Reb Chaim. So Lamaisa, we could have three ways of disagreeing with Reb Chaim. One is to reject the Rambam and say, no, blood is never considered yotzei min hatameh. Two is to say, blood that you were born with from your tameh mother is yotzei min hatameh, but blood you were born with from your kosher mother, like a treifa, is not yotzei min hatameh. The third thing you could theoretically say is, and this is a note of Yehuda, since yotzei min hatameh is not a full lav, maybe there's no din of tam ke'ikr, minat Torah, on anything that's not a full lav. The Note of Yehuda says, anything that's not a lav, has no iser of tam ke'ikr midaraisa. Only the tam of lavim and up is asa daraisa. The tam of ases and semi-lavim is not asa daraisa. So you could disagree with Rechaim for that reason also. So there are many ways you could disagree with Rechaim. So Chaim Shusak was not mochrach. Nonetheless, it certainly demonstrated his lumbus.
Is it
Did the treated animal give birth to a healthy animal?
Aha, that is a good question. Meaning, according to I was waiting for someone to say that, right? Of course, if a treif animal gives birth to a healthy animal, the baby's kosher, right? So what happened to that din? The Gemara in Beitza has there's a funny line in the Gemara in Beitza about this, right? In Daf Zayin or something, we'll learn Beitza, which says hovelu matar apel v'shchita, that even if a mukta animal gives birth, then the animal all of a sudden becomes mutter because there's xeris akasim. That and a born animal all of a sudden has a heter on it. So that's a good kasha against what I was trying to say based on what Daniel was saying.
But treva can't become pregnant, correct? If it becomes pregnant afterwards, doesn't prove it wasn't the treva to begin with?
Well, that's a machlokas, but that seems to be the way we paskin, so you could have. But nonetheless, a treva can carry a pregnancy.
No, but it was already made.
Right,
before,
so you could say that maybe there's no such metzias. Or. You know, here it gets tricky. You say, that's a special xeris custom when the animal is born, it doesn't inherit the status of its mother. But then that that goes back and makes things a little more complicated. You have to say the status of yotz, that an animal born from a treifa is not yotzim in a treifa, but, you know, an animal born from a dehema tmeya, meaning a treif species, has a problem yotzim in a tmeya, and that is, you're going to need to have a mucker for that. It might be doable, but I admit it would be difficult. So, okay, we're going to leave what Daniel said with a little bit of a tzarvim. Right? Theoretically, I saw what somebody wants to suggest that, no, the blood of fish is, like, made differently than the blood of animals, but I wasn't
scientifically
or something, but I wasn't just so sure that I could defend that, so we're going to leave that for now.
There are two notes, Yaakov. One in the 20th century, one in the 18th.
Have to check them both.
Israel Yaakov Shapira, Yaakov Kahana Shapira, and Israel Yaakov Al Ghazi.
Yeah. I don't know. Okay, if you want, we can look at them both later. All right, so that's the famous Reb Chaim story. What? Bavos. That means famous. Okay. Continuing in Gemara. The Gemara then justifies why there's no Isra Anah in Dam. And going on to Amud Beis, there is also just a famous, not our main sugya here, which is why I'm not going to talk about it for an hour, but a very famous Ha'ara that Rav Chanan happens to make al Atar. Sugyas, this is the main location of the sugya, but this is the main location of the Rav Chanan. There's a Brisa that appears twice in Shas. Okay, the more, you know... Where I would have chosen to be marshal in this brisa is in Avodah Zarah, because that's the topic of the whole perek is about Lifnei Iver, while by us it's a total just tangent, brought for a different reason. But the Gemara asks, Abram and Achai, why is it an Asar Anah, and how do we know it's a Mutar Anah? Because Nelson says, Minayin Shalom Yoshua Adam Kos Yayin Lenoz, Abram and Achai Lenoz, Noah. Tamlom the Iver Lusit in Michshol, right? It's only an Isar of Lifnei Iver to give the Abram and Achai to a guy. But do we know Lifnei Iver, like you're giving it to a Caleb? Then it would be perfectly fine. Which proves that it's mutter behana'ah. So Rav Chanan asks here, hold on a second. Mehechi teisi, that lifnei iver applies to a guy. Right? How can lifnei iver apply to a guy? Why does he ask this question? Because he assumes that, and this is a very fascinating philosophical issue which you won't go into, he assumes that that Kol HaTorah Kula, all the non-chavirs of the Torah, Stam Torah, is only talking about how we treat other Jews. Here, I'm going to just give you out, since I had one anyway, a whole Makoros sheet with all the Makoros on this. I'm not going to go through them all here, just because it's really off the top. But take it home in case you ever... in case you ever want to investigate it a little more, Rav Chanan here starts with an assumption. He says that Kol HaTorah Kula only applies to Jews. So Mehechi takes that Lifnei Iver applies to Goyim. Right, good question. He has a big riot from Lashon Chinuch which says, Lo Lahashel B'nei Yisrael Lasleich Lem Eitzara, that the law of Lifnei Iver is not to be Machshel a Yid.
The assumption is that Lifnei Iver is
a Ah, exactly. So that's the assumption of the question. So what does Rav Chanan answer? Rav Chanan, now, you can't deny that one aspect of Lifnei Iver has been a Lachaveiro, meaning it's clearly usher to be machal someone bein adam l'chaveiro. The question is, the whole thing about the kos yayin and the, you know, all those ne'ivers we used to nowadays, right, which all have to do with leading people to do isurin, what's the nature of that with ne'ivers? So Rav Chanan basically says is, and the question really is, like, you know, this whole drasha of minayin shlo yoshet adam kos yayin l'nazir ibn l'chayin l'noach tam lo'an lif ne'ivah l'sitei mechshol, is that pshuto shel mikra, or is that a chiddush al pi drush? Is it just pshuto shel mikra that it's a mechshol v'adam l'chaveiro? After all, if you're machshol someone to get hurt in olam hazeh, then you're a very mean person. Kal v'chomer, if you're machshol someone to get hurt in olam hava, then you're being even meaner to him. Hey, you might not be able to see that with regular eyes, but we know that it's, you're being even meaner to him if you're machshol in olam hava. Or is it, in which case, all v'adam l'chaveiro? Or no, this is really a chiddush al pi drush, a chiddush al pi torah shel peh. One meaning of the pasuk of pshuto shel mikra is it's us be machshol someone bein adam l'chaveiro. That means to like upset the guy and make him do something he doesn't want to do. But if the guy's not from, then that's his own problem what he decides to do religiously. The reason we can't give the kos yayin l'nazir to Avraham Nechayev bein Noach is bein adam l'makom, because we can't make averus in the world. Averus is some sort of objective michshol in the world, and the drush is that there's also bein adam l'makom that we can't cause averus. So, the Rav Chanan says that since the example is Avraham Nechayev bein Noach, and we know the bein adam l'averus don't apply to goyim unless you have a special riboy, right? It's a very short pasuk. There's no room for a riboy for goyim. So it must be Rav Chanan proves that it's bein adam l'makom. He can prove since bein adam l'averus wouldn't apply to goyim, he proves it's bein adam l'makom. And that's why you can't make a guy do an avera, because as far as bein adam l'makom is concerned, you know, anyone doing an avera is quote unquote bad for Hashem. The Minchas Chinuch argues on him, right there in the beginning of Lifnei Iver, the Minchas Chinuch argues on Rav Chanan and says no. The Minchas Chinuch says that this is all bein adam l'chaveiro. And he says, Stam sukkim the Torah and l'chaveiro apply to goyim as well. Why should the Torah, you know, only be talking about Jews? The Torah is talking about how we treat all human beings. So the Minchas Chinuch disagrees with the premise of Rav Chanan. He assumes that no, Stam sukkim the Torah. Torah says l'sirtzach, says l'signov, says l'sigzol. That all means goyim, unless there's a special extra pasuk to limit it to Jews. Therefore, even within the realm of bein adam l'chaveiro, we understand why it's also be Moshe Avraham Nechayev goy, because bein adam l'chaveiro, you're tripping him up in olam hava. And there's only one kind of lifnei iver, which is all bein adam l'chaveiro. So this is a famous machlok between Rav Chanan here and the Minchas Chinuch, whether the kind of lifnei iver we're discussing here is bein adam l'chaveiro, because bein adam l'chaveiro applies to goyim, min hastam, or is a separate drush of bein adam l'makom, and that's why it applies to goyim. They point out that there are many, many nafgaminas to this chakira, whether lifnei iver of averos is bein adam l'makom or bein adam l'chaveiro. Just to throw out a few of them, there's a machlok rishonim whether lifnei iver of avodah zarah is yehar gal yav or not. Again, if it's bein adam l'makom, then you would say it's avizrayo avodah zarah, it would be yehar gal yav. But if it's bein adam l'chaveiro, not yehar gal yav to trip someone up, bein adam l'chaveiro. Again, this is assuming that avizrayo of gimel averos is yehar gal yav. Another interesting machlok is achronim, or discussion the Minchas Chinuch brings down, is if you're machshel someone to do an Issur Drabanan, are you violating lifnei iver midoraisa or midrabanan? Right? Let's say you're machshel someone to, to eat bishul akum. So if it's bein adam l'makom, then you're only causing an avir drabanan, so it's only lifnei iver midrabanan. But if it's bein adam l'chaveiro, then paradoxically, even though he's only doing an Issur Drabanan, you're violating this daraisa by tripping him up because you're making him do something that he's going to be upset about that's bad for him. So if you made him lose $10, it would be an issur daraisa. If you can do an issur rabbanan, it's at least as bad as making him lose $10. So that's a very interesting nafgamina. Minchas Chinuch, of course, himself thinks that it's lifnei iver daraisa because he thinks it's all about Manon L'chaveiro. The other very interesting nafgaminas are, what about, there's a big machlokas achronim, lifnei iver of a mitzvah that I'm pater from. Right? What about lifnei iver a mitzvah that doesn't apply to me? Like, for example, Yisuri Kahuna. Avraham Nechayev applies to everyone. Nazir, we can say, applies to everyone, because everyone has to keep a Naziris if they're no their one. But what about, like, lifnei iver Yisuri Kahuna, and I'm a Zar? Or, you know, what about lifnei iver of, like, that's the easy. What about lifnei iver Yisuri Kahuna, and I'm a Zar? They argue about it as well as other things. if you looked at Benon Lachavero perspective, then of course it would be Lifnei Iver. I'm tripping that guy up. Who cares whether I'm tithing it? If you look at Benon Lamakom perspective, then you could taina, not Mukhra, but there's an Emunah Shmuel like this, you could taina that since I'm potter from it, then I'm not my problem, and Benon Lamakom, I don't have to worry about avoiding the Savira. It's not Mukhra, but that's what the Emunah Shmuel says. And there's some Rishonim sound that way also. Not Mukhra. A more Mukhra parallel Nafkamina, which is discussed by the modern day Achronim, is what if we paskin differently, me and you? Right? This is a Maisim Chol Yom, right? What if I paskin it's Asr and you paskin it's Mutter? So, or actually, I paskin it's Mutter, you paskin it's Asr, but either way, from Benon Lachavera perspective, what if I paskin it's Mutter, you paskin it's Asr? From Benon Lamakom perspective, of course of course it's okay to be Mashal you, because I know it's Mutter, so it's not an Avera. From an Ohavera perspective, then I still can't be Mashal you, because I'm making you trip up and do something that you wouldn't want to do, and that you consider to be a loss, so it could be that it would still apply. It's not Mocher, but it's fairly reasonable. Yeah?
When it comes to people popping at different things, we do acknowledge in the Jewish Piskei Halacha, because even though I pop people in the Nidu, you wouldn't say, I'm a Chal Shabbos, and I wouldn't become me as an age, because we pop people.
I'm correct, although I could always say because you're a Chal Shabbos B'Shogeg to get out of that. But you're right, this does get more complex, I admit. And just one last issue that I'll throw out, and then, you know, you can, one of these days, if you ever want to give Shira Lifnei Iver, you can look at all the Makoros and B'Marchiv. The famous discussion of Rosh Shlomo Zalman, which is, you know, do you look at the big picture or the, what's the opposite of the big picture? Do you look at the forest or the trees, right? So what if someone comes to my house and I don't give them food because they're not going to make a bracha? So do I say, Lifnei Iver, I don't want to make you eat without a bracha? Or do I say, no, Lifnei Iver, I don't want to, like, turn you off to Judaism? So, you know, that could be more of a general issue, but it could also depend on this chakira. If you really look at it as being out of the makom, then you could say, right now I can't do an aveira. Oh, it's for a good cause. I'm not allowed to do aveiras for a good cause either. You're not allowed to do an aveira just because, like, you have a good reason behind it. But if you look at it as an avera aveira tripping you up, then, in the end, you know, it's okay, meaning it's okay to trip someone up a little now to save them from a big hefsid later, but on the Havero, of course it's a nice thing to make you lose $10 now so you can gain $1,000 later. So from an El Havero perspective, then for sure I should say, look at the forest. I don't want to turn you up to Judaism. From an El Havero perspective, not so poshut. Because from an El Havero perspective, we don't say I could do one chait, or we don't always say that I could do a chait just to improve religiosity later on. Okay, so that's some very fascinating nafkaminas that come out of the discussion of Rav Elchanan here. And again, some of them you have to ma'amik a little more, but I'll leave that for now. Continuing the Gemara, the Gemara then discusses the pasuk of, they bring a pasuk to defend Rabbi Abahu. How is he matir b'nechai b'hani ba'anok? It says, ki adam wa nefesh. So there is a hekesh, just like dam is much ba'anok, so too a b'nechai is much ba'anok. What does Chizkiyah do with this pasuk? He said it's not being makish Ibn Machai to Dam, but Dam to Ibn Machai, just like Ibn Machai is Asr, likewise Dam and Achai is Asr. And which Dam and Achai is Asr? Dam HaKazash and Nefesh Yotzabo. Right? The classic Dam that we think of usually is Dam of killing. Right? I kill someone and then I kill an animal and then Dam comes out. Right? Whether it's Halachi Shchita or just an Achira, some other way of killing it. That is classic Isser Dam. But the Rebbe here is just like Abram and Chai is also when it's alive, so too Dam is also when it's alive, even Dam HaKaza, I just cause a regular wound, bloodletting, or I assume any other regular wound. Which kind of Dam HaKaza is Asr? Dam Shahanefesh Yotzabo. The Dam that the life comes out in, the lifeblood. And then if you look in Croesus, you have a big, you know, Rebbe Yochanan Reish Lakish, exactly what blood is considered the lifeblood. Seems to be a machlokas, not benzias, but about what does lifeblood mean? Does lifeblood mean like the kind of blood that gradually, as it comes out, you lose your life force, and if you lose enough of it, then you die? Or does that mean, no, like when you die, the blood that comes out, that last like spark of vigor, goes out with it? Okay, but that's technicalities we won't go into now. What's strange about this Gemara is that it seems to say that the only blood of a live animal that's usser is Dam Shanefesh Yotzebo, But if I have blood that the nephesh done, that the nephesh is not yotzei ba, then I can drink blood of a live animal. That is, truth is that Rashi and Sanhedrin sounds like that a little. This is a parallel brisa, right? What does the source of Shas say? It's in Sanhedrin somewhere. Right? No, the source of Shas doesn't say anything. Okay, but it still is. Nun tes amud... Amud in Aleph, and Rashi seems to say something a little strange. The Achronim aren't quite sure what to do with it, but Rashi there seems to say, well, let me just find it. Don't say only dam shchita is dam, but dam hakaza when the animal's alive is not dam at all. Actually, likewise, is an azhar of dam as long as it's dam and nefesh. Rashi sounds like only dam and nefesh is usher, like it's perfectly mutter, at least on the deraisa level, to drink blood from a live animal as long as it's not dam and nefesh. That is a little radical. And, you know, the Achronim are not happy accepting that, and that's certainly not what Rashi says here. So if you don't want to be so radical, the Pashup Shad of the Gemara is that live dam is only usher if it's dam ha-nefesh. But the other live dam is perfectly fine. I don't know, but you have to figure out exactly how to, you know, apply the Gedarim and the Gemara. I think a little cut and a little, you know, just drips out, that's probably not dam ha-nefesh. So that's perfectly kosher. That's a little radical. So there are two other ways to be mefarish this Gemara. What does Rashi here say? It's not talking about when there's an Isser of Dam. There's an Isser of Dam on all blood of an animal. So what does Rashi say? It's talking about Kares, that the Hekesh is just like Eiver Min Achai, is classic main Eiver Min Achai when it's alive, by definition. Likewise, Dam is the classic main Isser of Dam while the animal's alive. What's the classic main Isser of Dam? The Dam that you have Kares on. So the Kiddush is, we know all along. All along we knew you weren't allowed to eat dam. It says many places in the Chumash not to eat dam. But when it talks about kares, it only says you get kares because of the lifeblood. So therefore, we knew, well, of course it's all dam is treif. The question is, do you get kares for dam when the animal's alive? And then, the Chiddush of our Gemara is, it depends. Blood, stam blood, when the animal's alive, you don't get kares. But dam ha-nefesh, when the animal's alive, you do get kares. That's the second way, the first, you know, more reasonable way, not Mechudish way to read our Gemara. Ravina Chananel here has a totally different way of reading our Gemara. What does Ravina Chananel say? What Isser are we talking about? Yeah, we're not talking about the Isser of Dam. He's reading it much more Kipshuto. We're not talking about the Isser of Dam. We're not saying a Hekesh, just like the Isser of Menachai applies Mechayim, the Isser of Dam applies Mechayim. No, we're talking about the Isser of Menachai. Dam, everyone knows there's an Isser of Dam when an animal's alive. The Chiddush here is, there's also an Isser of Eiver Min Achai on Dam Min Achai. Everyone knows Dam Min Achai is Treif Al Dam. The Chiddush is also Treif Al Eiver Min Achai, and then it's telling us, which Dam Min Achai, or which Dam is also Eiver Min Achai? It's only also Eiver Min Achai if it's a significant part of the animal. A little non-crucial Dam that comes out when the animal's alive, it's Dam, but it's not Eiver Min Achai, it's not a real part of the animal. It's only a real part of the animal if Dam and Nefesh comes out. Now, of course, what's the nafkamina of being Abram and Achai if it's Dam anyway? No. No, more obvious. B'nai Noach. The real drush of this is not so much of an nafkamina for Jews, but nafkamina is for B'nai Noach, right? Dam is fine for B'nai Noach. Abram and Achai is Asur. So the Chiddush here is just like meat from a live animal is Asur, so too Dam from a live animal has Abram and Achai, and you can't feed it to your Goyish workers. But that Isser Eiver Min Achai, which applies to Goyim, is only for Dam HaNefesh. This would, you know, this is Machlokas Tanaim in Sanhedrin there, whether Dam Min Achai is Usser to Bnei Noach or not. So he, you have to figure out exactly which Tana he is passing like, but it seems to be passing like Rav Hanina and Gamliel there. That is an Isser Eiver Min Achai applies to Dam HaNefesh, Dam HaKazash HaNefesh Yotzebo, and therefore it's Usser even to Bnei Noach. No. I think he would say you don't get the truth is, this gets a little tricky because it's in first mission in Krisos, like Rashi here, which is that you get Kares on Dam Ha, it's a mafurish mishnah in Kresos that you get kares on dama kazash nefesh yotzevo. But he would say that's not what we learn from this limud. That's a svara.
How about dama kazash ain't nefesh yotzevo?
I think he would say it's pashat, it's alav.
According to Menuchah, no.
Yeah.
Why?
Because it's dama.
Why is it with kares though?
What?
Why isn't it with kares?
Because just like when an animal's dead, the dam, the nefesh comes out with has kares, and the rest of the dam doesn't. So if someone animal's alive, the dam, the nefesh comes out as kares, the rest of it doesn't. Meaning that's not such a big chiddush. So we have three ways of reading this Gemara. Again, the very strange way, which Rashi seems to say in Sanhedrin, and seems to be the simple shot of the Gemara, is just too big of a kula for us, for most people to accept, is that really, the havmin is there's no Isur Dam at all in a live animal. Kamashal, only the Dam and Nefesh is treif, the rest of the blood is kosher. Or Rashi here says, no, the havmin is, of course, is an Isur Dam of a live animal, but there's no kares in a live animal. Kamashal, no, Nefesh, Dam Nefesh, even applies to live animals. There's a Dam that comes out of a live animal that still has the Nefesh with it. And therefore, there's kares. And according to Rabbi Nachananel, no, we're not talking Isur Dam at all. We knew all the halachas of Dam Misfara. We just have mina was that there's no Isra Abram and Achai on Dam, because it's blood and not flesh. Tamash Malam, the Isra Abram and Achai applies to very important Dam, to very crucial Dam, and which Dam is so crucial that the Isra Abram and Achai applies to Dam Shenefesh Yotzebo. Okay, in the continuation of the Gemara, they start bringing up Shor HaNitzkel as well. Shor HaNitzkel is when we transition a little, asking Rabbi Abahu, to asking on everyone, right? Because the Shor HaNitzkel, they have a special pasuk to Asur Ba'Na'ah, and Bein Lo'ri for Bein Lo'chizki, it says, Lo Ye'achel, you should know on your own that it is Asur Ba'Na'ah. Agav, the Rishonim bring up some very, very fascinating questions here, which again, you know, I'm not going to go into all of Shor HaNitzkel, I'll just point out some very, very important issues about Shor HaNitzkel and some other things. They ask it's actually more of a like Minchas Chinuch question than a Rishonim question. But the Gemara says, Sakol Yisakel Ashor V'loi Ochel Es Besaro, right? That you have to do skila to the Shor HaNitzkel, that's why it's called Shor HaNitzkel, and you can't eat the meat. The Gemara says, Pashit, of course you can't eat the meat after you do skila to Nevela. Don't I already know that? So the Chiddush is, no, V'loi Ochel Es Besaro, I already know not to eat Nevela. Must be teaching me that even if I'm a bit of a scofflaw, and shachto achshinig mardino, and I grabbed it away from the Bezdin's executioner, and I shecht it with a kosher shechita that's not nevela, it's still usher, because there's an independent Isra achila of Shor HaNitzkel. Okay, seems like a very straightforward Gemara. And the only thing not straightforward is, why don't we know it's Asur Ba'Na'ah? And that's exactly what the Gemara asks. In the end, they're going to say, we do know from Lo Yachel, and all the drushes are just for other things. All the Rishonim are bothered by a question, which is, what do you mean Sokol Yisokel Hashor already teaches you it's Asur V'Achila? Maybe we're talking about a Ben Pekua. What if you have a Ben Pekua Shor HaNitzkel? A Ben Pekua Shor HaNitzkel is mutter even after Skila. So who says Lo Yachel is coming to teach you that the Isser of Shachul Achshinig Mardino, maybe it's coming to teach you the Isser of a Ben Pekua Shor HaNitzkel? That's all the Rishonim's question, right? That's all the Rishonim's question. Lo Yeachel Es Besaro. Our Gemara says it's for Shachvel La'achar Shenig Mardino, because it's not necessary for Skila. But the Rishonim asks, it should be for, Shor Ben Pakua. Shenitzkel, you need a chiddush. Say that's also ba'achila. So, how do we answer this colorful question? Now, of course, the most balabatish way to answer this question, which is one of the answers given by the Tosfos Rush here, right? He says, the pasuk can't be talking about a ben pekua. That's too weird of an okemta. Okay, the problem is that, I don't know, usually has no problem with weird things like this. I guess you have to make a judgment call, draw the line someplace. So one technical answer is the one answer in the Tosfos Rush here. It's also in the Tosfos Shans in Bava Kamma. We don't have a copy of the Tosfos Shans in Bava Kamma, but all the nice parts are in the Shidduch Gretzes in Bava Kamma. The Tosfos on Baba Kama Daf Mem Aleph also gives a technical answer. Tosfos says, yeah, you're right, they could have asked this question. But at the end, they ask different questions, and they reinterpret all the different psukim, so it's okay. Meaning in Baba Kama there. You're right, they could have asked this question. It would have been a valid question. But in the end of Baba Kama, they have different drasha. They say, really, you don't need lo yachos b'sor for this. You can learn from b'soro that even if you shecht it, ke'in b'sor, it's asur. So therefore, they could have asked this question, but in the end, they changed all the drushes. By the time you get to Baba Kama, not here. By the time you get to Baba Kama, they changed all the drushes. It's mentioned in Tosdu Masal Salka Daitach that they had changed all the drushes in Maskan and Baba Kama, and once they changed the drushes, then we don't have any more questions. Okay, so Tosdu and Baba Kama, and one inch of the Tosdu Rush gave a technical answer, which is either Lo Mistaber Leokme that is too weird, or Eino Kanami, right? Have a Motzi Lemifra, right? Yeah, they could have asked this question that maybe it's talking about Enfakua, but in the end, this is all what we think we learned the Isra Achilas Lo Yachos Basaro. By the time they get through in Baba Kama, they learn the Isra Achilas Shachul Achshening Mardino from Basaro, from a different Pasuk, and therefore, our question goes away. Some of the more interesting answers are, okay, what are the more interesting ways to answer this? So there's a Rabbeinu Yishai in the Shita of Betz there who says something really wild. This is the best of my knowledge of Shitas Yachid. I don't know who else holds like this. He just denies the premise. He gives three answers. One of his answers is that the premise is wrong. Sure, Ben Pakua, Shenisko is a Neveva. Our premise was, you need Lo Yachol Sorah for Ben Pakua, because Ben Pakua is no Isra Neveva. He's already shechted. He says, no, if you're Sokol Ben Pakua, there is an Isra Neveva. Why? Don't we know Ben Pakua doesn't need Shvita? So he says it doesn't need shechita, but what a chazal sometimes use about people who don't need shechita, like for example, one period of Jewish history, according to Rabbi Kiva, right? We didn't need shechita, so what do we do to eat meat? Which period of Jewish history is that? What? In the Midbar, right? In the Midbar, we ate basar nechira. So most people understand a shor niskal doesn't need shechita, meaning it doesn't matter what you do with it. The Rabbi Yishai is a crazy shita. He says a ben pakua doesn't need shechita, but it needs nechira. You're right, a ben pakua doesn't need shechita, but we never said that it's mutter no matter what happens to it. We just said it doesn't need shechita. So everyone assumes when we say it doesn't need shechita, that means it's a walking piece of kosher, and it doesn't matter what happens to it. Right? It doesn't matter how it dies or how you kill it or what happens. But the Rabbi Yishai says in one day, no. It doesn't need shechita, but it still needs nechira. Now, what does nechira mean?
Yeah.
No one actually knows. You know, whenever Gemara talks about nechira, it talks about goyim doing nechira, right? So they won't eat even menachai. It talks about how in the Midbar, according to one day, we ate basar nechira, right? In a few places it talks about nechira. It talks about dam nechira, dam shechita, dam ikar, like clearly it's a way of killing animals. It's not so clear what nechira means. Rashi says, at least in some place it means you rip the head from the nostrils instead of from the throat. But what does nechira mean is very unclear. So, meaning halachically. So I've seen three different interpretive possible pirusha of what nechira means. Could be nechira just means not alive anymore. In which case that would have nothing to do with this Rabbeinu Yishai. Nechira means it shouldn't be alive. Or it could be nechira means killing it, not dropping dead. Right? So nechira means killing it, not dropping dead. Or it could mean, right, that in which case Rabbeinu Yishai is saying you have to kill a ben pakua. If it drops dead, it's still trained. Or it could be that nechira means cutting the simanim any way you want. But anything else is not nechira. Nechira means doesn't have to be shechita. You can cut the simanim any way you want. If you want, you can chop from the back of the head. You can chop from the front of the head. You can use a saw. You can use a laser gun. You could, you know, do whatever you want. But it has to be cutting the simanim, right? You can't just like bang it on the head and, you know, and or whatever, like inject it with poison or, you know, or something like that, or shoot it through the heart. You have to cut the simanim. So l'chora, Ben Yishai is assuming that nechira means cutting the simanim, that you don't need to shech the ben pekua, but you do need to somehow behead or partially behead a ben pekua, which would be a big chiddush. In which case, if it was died through skila, it would be nevela, and therefore skila covers regular animals and ben pekua animals. Lo yachus sar is necessary for shachol le'achshenig martino. That is when Yishai's tremendous, tremendous chiddush. Okay, theoretically, I don't want to just say theoretical possibilities, but maybe even if you said Nechira just means you have to kill it, not that it dies on its own, you could still say Skila doesn't count as killing it, because maybe Nechira means, like, if a person kills it in order to use it, but if it dies as an Onesh, then that's considered dying on its own, not Nechira. So it could be you think Nechira means you have to shech simanim, or at the very least, Nechira means you have to kill it for the purpose of utilizing it and consuming it, as opposed to dying on its own or having an onesh applied to it. Now, of course, what's crazy about this Rabbeinu Yishaya is, how does Nechira help for Ben Pekua? It means B'manashah. If you shefted, it shefted. If you don't shefted, it's not shefted. What difference does it make if it was stoned or if you did Nechira? Meaning, you know, maybe, you know, in the Midbar it made a difference. That's very nice for the Midbar. But what difference does it make to us? I have to say, tremendous Kiddush. You have to say that there are two kinds of nevela. They're almost like a tzvei din of nevela. There's one, we just think nevela is whatever's not shechted, shechita is whatever's not nevela. It says, no, there are two kinds of nevela. There's one kind of nevela means it died. Dying actively makes it nevela. Then there's a chiddush of the Torah, if it's a vachta, that says you have to shecht it. And whatever has to be shechted, if you don't shecht it, it also becomes a nevela. But there are two different kinds of nevela. There is the inherent nevela, which is an animal that just dies. You know, however you define the opposite of nechira, right? An animal that just dies, the inherent nevela. And then there's the pasha pshat nevela, an animal that just dies, right? And right, let's say you buy meat in shop, right? So that's not the pasha pshat word of nevela. They did nechira to it, right? It's not in the dictionary meaning of the word nevela. It was shechted in a slaughterhouse, right? So there's hush of shot nevela, and that applied even in the midbar. And then there's chiddush din of halachic nevela, which is that the Torah said to sheft, and that implies that when you don't sheft, becomes nevela. And you have to say that a ben pekua is pachta from shechita. But there's still another underlying level of pasha pshat, meaning the word nevela, since the ben pekua is pater from shechita, right? It's not the shechted, but it's pater from shechita. Since the ben pekua is pater from shechita, or even if it's shechted, a ben pekua is shechted, so it's pater from shechita. Therefore, if you don't shechted, there's no problem, but it's still a live animal, and if a live animal dies stam, that's still pasha pshat nevela. That's still the other din of nevela. And what's the riot? There is another din of nevela. In the midbar, there are pater from shechita, yet they could only eat nechira. And if an animal just dropped dead, that was pasha pshat nevela. They were pater from chiddush nevela, of shechita. They're still had the yisur pasha pshat nevela. So likewise, eshor niskal, it's not that it's already dead. No, it's alive. That it's already shechted. It's pater from shechita. But it's still a live animal. If a live animal dies in a way that's not nechira, then it's still nevela. So you have to say there's sveigin and nevela. One din applies in the midbar to ben pekua. And only one din applies in the midbar, Ligdor Akiva and Ben Pekua, but both dino apply to regular animals. And that's a big, big chiddush of Rabbeinu Yishaya. And he says it because of this question, which is a wild chiddush to say based on this question. Again, not such a wild chiddush in terms of halacha l'maaseh, we don't, like, doesn't come up all the time anyway, but theoretically, it's a big chiddush to say that there's two different kinds of nevela, and one of the dino applies to Ben Pekua and the other one doesn't. The other way you could theoretically answer this, okay, how else would you answer this? Right?
Couldn't you say that, you can make this question all the time, and if you're that before it dies, it becomes a treifa?
Before it dies, does it become a treifa?
Yeah.
Meaning anytime you shech, in the middle of the shechita it becomes treifa, so why isn't it treifa?
Right.
So anytime you do nechira, the middle of the nechira becomes treifa, why isn't it usur? Mishum treifa.
Especially the skila.
Right. So,
the middle of the
so l'chora, you could say that if Interestingly, if oh, but no, it doesn't matter. Everyone agrees there's no iser treifa in. Everyone agrees there's no iser treifa in Benfikua. Now, of course, you'll ask, why is there no iser treifa in Benfikua? And that has to do with what I understood to be Reb Chaim's bar mitzvah drasha. But it's a good question. But let's. I hear the question, but it doesn't seem to work because Lamaisa were matra treifa in Benfikua. So we'll leave it for now. The other two main answers in the Rishonim are also diametrical opposites. But the other answer of Ben Yishaya is Menakasa Lakasa. The other unique answer of Ben Yishaya is that, let's just put them up here so we can actually read them. This is the other answer of Ben Yishaya in the Sheet of Gemetzes there. He says that, here he says, no, Lo Yachol Zasar can't be talking about Bekua. Bekua is already traced through the Skila. Here he says the opposite. He says, Lo Yachol Es Bisaro can't mean Ben Pekua because Shor HaNiskol Ben Pekua is kosher. Shor HaNiskol Ben Pekua actually is mutter. Why is Shor HaNiskol Ben Pekua mutter? Right? Meaning, Misvara Lo Yachasar can't be coming to Asher Ben Pekua. Not because it was already usher through the Skila. Because it's already mutter, and even a pasuk won't make it usher. Why won't even a pasuk make it usher? Because Ben Pekua is shachto kodem shenig mardino. It was shechted when it was born. And if you shecht your animal before mardin, there's no iser of Ben Pekua. There's no iser of Shor HaNiskol. So he says, le'idach kisa, not even in the havmina we knew it was straight, and we don't need a pasuk. Even the maskan is kosher. How could a pasuk be asking Ben Pekua? Ben Pekua is shachto kodem shenig mardino, and it's mafurish gemara that if you're a clever skafla, not a dumb skafla, then you sheft your Shor HaNiskol before gmardin, and if gmardin was never chal, then it's heter gomer. So he said this is considered shachto kodem shenig mardino, and if it's shachto kodem shenig mardino, then it is then there's no problem at all. The iser doesn't apply at all to a Ben Pekua. Okay, but why doesn't the iser apply to Ben Pekua if it's shachto kodem shenig mardino? So, what's the svara here? I mean, but lemaisa, why not still judge it and do skila? I understand if you mamish shachto kodem mardin, then you can't be mamish the ledin, you can't do skila anymore. But here, you can still be mamish the ledin and do skila. So what's the problem? What? Yeah, I mean, lemaisa, bring it into court, judge it, and stone it. Right? Who cares that how logically shechted kodem shenig mardino? So, I can only think of, maybe two ways to explain the svar of Ben Yishaya. Either you can't be don a Ben Pekua because it's already dead. Say the opposite of what he said in the other shot. A Ben Pekua is not just shechted, it's dead. You can't be done a dead cow. Oh, it happens to be a dead cow that's walking around and acting very suspiciously like a live cow. But you can't be done a dead ox because you can't give a chi of misa to a mace. Right? You can't give a chi of misa to a mace, and therefore, yeah, you could probably don a Ben Pekua for mamonos, right? But you can't give a chi of misa to a mace, right? It's already dead and can't have chi of misa on a mace. Okay, basically get through a loophole here. You can't if he goes already, you can't make exargin a mace on someone that's already dead, and it happens to be lucky that even though it's already dead, for practical purposes, it acts alive and therefore it lives happily ever after, or enjoys death happily ever after. That's one derech. That is, it's a big chiddush to say that it's mamish already dead. The other derech could be,
especially because shechita doesn't even necessarily mean it's dead for Ben Noach.
What?
Especially because even shechita doesn't actually mean it's dead for Ben Noach.
Correct. Correct. Even shechita doesn't mean it's dead. No, but shechita of a kosher animal makes it dead for Ben Noach. Agav us. So.
Okay, but you see from the fact.
It's not so pashut. The other option is just to say that he holds like Rabbeinu Tam, and this is a famous chakira, with this will end, of how to read the Maskana of our Gemara. Right? What's the Maskana of our Gemara? There are two ways to read the Maskana of our Gemara. And this, I think, if I were to say the Ben Baku is walking dead, you would say it sounds a little science fiction-y, not so pushing. But what if I were to tell you that you couldn't shecht the Ben Bakua once it's already shechted? Would that be sort of, that might be a little more reasonable to accept. Okay, what's the Chakira? What's the Havmina? The Havmina of our Gemara is that if you do skila, it becomes Aser, but if you were shachto, achashe nigmar dino, it's mutter. Right? That's the Havmina of our Gemara. What's the Maskana of our Gemara? Maskana is that shachto la'achar shenigmar dino is also usser. Why? Why is shachto la'achar shenigmar dino usser? What? So, zeres akasur, that what makes it usser? Now, there are two phrases here, right? Shachto la'achar shenigmar dino. There, so the pashut shot is the gemar din makes a chalos iser of shor nisko. What does nisko mean? Nisko doesn't mean a stoned ox. It means an ox to be stoned, right? Just translate shor hanisko as like, you know, not, you know, ochel hanechal might mean it was eaten or it's fit for eating. A shor that's fit for skila. That's the pashut shot, right? But there's a famous sheet of Meir Tan. What's the other option? Okay, look at the phrase. What's the other option? The Gemar Din doesn't make it usher. Rabbeinu Tam holds that it's mutter behana'a achar Gemar Din. Rabbeinu Tam holds, no, if the Gemar Din is mutter behana'a, you can plow with it, you can ride it, you can use it for all kinds of things. Now, he points out that practically you still shouldn't do it because of Inui Hadin. But it's perfectly mutter b'hanah. You know, let's say you're on the way to the Beis HaSkila, it's perfectly mutter to riot, right? You're not doing any Inui Hadin, and it's perfectly mutter to get hanah. Rather, it's, the Chiddush is looking very literally, the Shechita. The Shechita makes it usher b'hanah. That's what he's saying. Shachto l'achashim yardino, it makes it usher. Rabbi Tom says, it's taka mutter until shechita, it's the shechita that makes it usher. Why would the shechita, here, I'm adding to Rabbi Tom. Literally, he's very good at the lashon, no? Why would the shechita make it usher? So you could say, why would we mutter after gmar din and only usher after the shechita? Unless what you have to say is that any death is really a kiyum of the onesh. You could say, really, this shor had to die. Whenever it dies, that's the kiyum of the onesh, and the onesh, the onesh makes it asur b'hanah. It's not asur b'hanah until it gets the onesh. But any death makes it counts as the onesh. Right? After all, and this is a big deal, but we say for people, right, that al pisha arbisa's butlum din arbisa's lo butlum. Right, and that, you know, someone could just die in a random way and that'll really be considered onish when a shemayim bar mevisos. Okay, you have to ask how much halachic valence that has. But this is what Rabbeinu Tam seems to say. So it's a chakir and how to read the maskana of our Gemara. And it, like the nafina chakir is very, very obvious. Does it become usher right away? Or does it only become usher after you shecht it or kill it in, you know, whatever fashion you decide to do so? It's just that we expand skila. You love that, that any death of the animal will be considered the Gemar Din, not the Gemar Din, will be considered the Yitzua, the Onesh, and make it Asur B'Hanah. So I thought that you could say that if you take Rabbeinu Tam's Derech, maybe you could justify Rabbeinu Yishaya. You could say, even though you could give it a Gemar Din, right, by a Ben Pakua, right? Since, I mean, it's really subtle. Since it's already dead, can't die again, and therefore the Isser is not chal l'fi Rabbeinu Tam. According to Rabbeinu Tam, the Isser is only chal when the Onesh happens to it. The Onesh can happen if it's already dead. It can't be shechted if it's already shechted. And therefore, there is no way for Shor Nisgal, for a Ben Bechua to ever become Asra Shor Nisgal, because you can't kill it. Coming to the same Nekud, it's already dead. Either it's already dead, and therefore you can't be done it, have a Mardin if you take not Rabbeinu Tam, or even if you could be done it, but you can't execute the din, and therefore the Isra not be chal for your Rabbeinu Tam. There's one more answer I'll point out, and this also has to do with this Hakira, I think, which is what most Rishonim answer. What a most Rishonim answer, right? Most Rishonim Bava Kama. It's also in the Tosfos Rush here, and the Maram Chalava, etc. What a most Rishonim answer? What do you mean?
If you're going to shut it, Lachar and Gemara, it's going to be Aser for sure. Who's chapter 4? It's going to be Aser.
No. It says, you could say Lo ye ochel, it doesn't actually matter. Es besaro is for a ben pakua sheniskal. Yeah, in a chanami you could say it's really talking about a ben pakua. Ben pakua, you don't know that it's usher through the skila, so it comes to be marve that even a ben pakua is usher in the skila. But if you assume, not like Rabbeinu Tam, right? But that proves, again, if you assume not like Rabbeinu Tam, that Gemar Din creates an Isser, and Memela, we also know Shachto Le'achar Shenigmar Dino. This would be assuming, not like Rabbeinu Tam. Rabbeinu Tam couldn't go this way. Rabbeinu Tam could say, no, then we only know Skila creates an Isser. How do we know any death creates an Isser? But if you assume, not like Rabbeinu Tam, that it's Pashut that only Gemar Din can create an Isser, right? If you assume it's Pashut against Rabbeinu Tam, what does that mean? Assume that it's Pashut, and that's why most Rishonim are, we can prove we're against Rabbeinu Tam. The Akronim was suffered whether most Rishonim agree with Rabbeinu Tam or not. But I think we can prove from right here that most Rishonim are against Rabbeinu Tam. Assume it's Pashut that only Gemar Din creates Isurim, not Skila. So if you assume, Rabbeinu Tam would say, what do you mean? Maybe only Skila creates the Isur. But if you assume it's Pashut that Gemar Din creates the Isur, it's Pashut. Even in the Hamun, it's Pashut that only Gemar Din can create an Isur. So if it's Pashut that only Gemar Din can create an Isur, and you know that the Ben Pakua Sheniskal is trace, then what made the Ben Pakua Sheniskal trace? Pashut us not the skill of the Mardin. Once the Mardin makes a trace, so to anything that your Shachal Akshanik Mardino is trace. So basically they are saying, yeah, you could have done something about the Ben Pakua, but how you have? It would have proved the same point, which is like Mardin makes an Isser. This is against the Ashkafa Rabbeinu Tam, because the contrary to Tam, it only proves that the skill makes an Isser. How do we know other misos? So this is actually a valid proof for an issue that's not resolved in the Achronim, whether most Rishonim agree with Rabbeinu Tam or not. I think from here, since most Rishonim give this answer in our sugya, not any of the weirder answers or more technical answers, then this is the proof that it's pashut them even behavamina that Skila doesn't create the Isser, Mardin creates the Isser, and therefore Ben Pakua Sheniskal is trait, so too Shavulach Hashanim Rabbeinu is trait, because that just proves that Mardin creates the Isser. Okay, we'll pick up Mirzah Shem next time with Arla. I want to add some things to the Mar Makomos, so here I'll just so no one will be bored. I'll give you out the first three Mar Makomos now. What? Dot 11. But I want to add some things to those Mar Makomos, so I'll give out a new one later, Mirza Shem. I apologize for making it overly complicated. I think we can handle it.
Back to Yidden Hashem.
Yes.
Tosa asks why Kikol Ofer is included in part of difference, and he doesn't really explain, which is there's a difference between low yip and low